You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPECC and the KPECC app. I'm Larry Mantle. We know the entertainment industry in Southern California has been devastated by job loss as production has ground to a halt because of concerns over the spread of COVID-19. Now we have preliminary recommendations that have been considered, and the state of California issuing its report on returning the entertainment industry to work. But for so many employees who are extraordinarily eager and in some cases financially desperate to get back to work, the question is, are they going to be able to work safely? Joining us, John Horn, KPCC's host of The Frame. John, thank you for joining us. This is a massive undertaking, isn't it, between all the guilds, production companies, studios, and various governmental entities?
No, it's amazing that this white paper that was organized by the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers came together, because you have a lot of competing interests, a lot of people who might want one thing, somebody else wants another. But when you see that the Cinematographers Guild put out its own principles about returning to work, and so much of that mirrors what's in this white paper that the AMPTP put together, it's clear they're starting to get consensus around what those ideas might look like when we go back to production, if and when that actually happens.
And where are we at in terms of the various jurisdictions allowing production to resume?
Well, Governor Gavin Newsom, who I think we're still waiting for his advice on what return to production is going to be like, said when he convened a virtual town hall with some industry leaders a couple of weeks ago that LA County has problems. And Larry, as you know, and as our listeners know, there's still more than 1,000 new coronavirus cases every day in LA County. And that is a number that feels incompatible with a return to production. So I think as much as Hollywood wants to get back to work, and as much as there are plans, there's still no uniform guidelines, and the county itself might be, I think, too much at risk right now for any production to resume in the next month or two.
Are you aware of productions that have opened up in other countries? And if so, of any American productions either relocated or American productions started in those other countries?
Yeah, I mean, Netflix is a good example. They are shooting right now in Sweden and Iceland and South Korea. And you can say Iceland and South Korea, pretty safe. Sweden, not so much. I mean, Sweden has had 4,500 deaths and counting. Denmark, Norway, and Finland don't even have, barely have 1,000 combined. So Sweden has different protocols, and I'm sure Netflix has safe work practices in place there. But what works in Sweden might not work in Hollywood, and what works in Hollywood might not work in Georgia, and what works in Georgia might not work in New York. So you have to make sure. In fact, the Cinematographers Guild, in its new rules, said everybody has to agree on what the rules are. You can't have one country, one state, one locality having different rules. There have to be kind of uniform and what they call robust protocols in place to make sure that there's not going to be long-lasting damage, because you can really only go back to work once.
We're talking with host of The Frame, John Horn, with us on Film Week. Also with us, speaking of those protocols and getting it right, is Dr. Daniel Yuslan, co-chief of infection prevention at UCLA Health, associate clinical professor of infectious diseases at UCLA. And he was the medical consultant for the task force developing this white paper on guidelines for reopening. Dr. Yuslan, thank you for being with us. What are some of those essential protocols that are going to have to be followed?
Well, good afternoon, Larry, and thank you so much for having me. So we focused on a number of things. Really, it's the application of the proven safety methods, which we all know at this point, physical distancing, personal protective equipment, health checks like temperature and symptom screening, but trying to apply those to a very diverse industry, which, as you all know, encompasses everything from on-set production of large films to location productions to live talk shows, for example, and trying to figure out how to apply those safety methods to a very unique and diverse industry is a bit of a challenge.
What are some of the areas that appear to be the most challenging to come up with safety guidelines?
Well, I think certainly the performers, actors, stunt performers, et cetera, it presents a challenge because often by the very nature of the work they're doing, they can't be physically distancing. You can't film an intimate scene or have close dialogue between two actors if they're standing 6 feet apart, and certainly they can't be wearing personal protective equipment like masks or face shields when they're doing that. So that presents challenges, and I think that's where the creativity and innovation of the industry comes into play. And things like testing become incredibly important.
We're talking with UCLA's Dr. Daniel Yuslan. Also with us, Duncan Crabtree Ireland, Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel for SAG-AFTRA, the union that represents actors and media artists. He's leading SAG-AFTRA's Safety and Reopening Initiative. Duncan, it's good to have you with us again. Obviously, people want to get back to work, but in trying to walk this line between safety and reopening, what are you hearing as the biggest concerns from your membership?
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, Larry. Appreciate it, as always. It is, you've hit the nail right on the head, and actually Dr. Uslan did that as well, in stating that performers are going to be among the most at risk on sets because of the limitations of physical distancing and PPE, the protective equipment, and their inability to wear that at certain points in the production process. So testing is a key component of that from our members' perspective, but I think really the point is this document, we're very proud of having participated in it. We think it's tremendous that the industry got together in a unified way to present it. But it is the first step towards resuming production. It's not the last step towards resuming production. And there will need to be, as acknowledged in the document, much more detailed protocols for different specific parts of the resumption of production, and especially how we're going to deal with things like anything from hair and makeup for performers to performers working in intimate scenes to performers working without PPE and other participants in the process too. So it's a really strong and great first step, but it's not enough to now launch into reopening. There's additional work that has to be done before we can take that step.
You know, I think of the very long days that are often involved in production, how tired people get in all different facets of a production crew, and, you know, people keeping their masks on, people keeping distancing, and how easy that's going to be to break down. I mean, we talk about this with schools going back to campus. How are you going to, you know, deal with kids? But even with adults, there's a fatigue factor. And one of the things I wonder is who's going to be the enforcer for that, Duncan?
Well, actually, one of the things that I think is really great in the document that we ultimately reached is the idea of having a COVID compliance officer on every set, at least one, sometimes more than one, depending on the size of the production. And that is a person who is explicitly responsible for that and who is in an authoritative position. This is not a low-level sort of person who's just kind of hanging around. This is someone who has been specially trained to do this and who has authority to make sure that the protocols that are supposed to be in place actually are in place, and a person that everyone on set and everyone involved in the production knows, we can go to that person if we identify any kind of problem that needs to be addressed.
Is frequency of testing contemplated in this white paper for actors who were involved, you know, close up acting with each other, about how frequent that's going to have to be?
Well, that is actually one of the next big topics we have to work on. It is agreed in this white paper that there should be regular, consistent testing. The exact frequency of that is still a subject of discussions, and how that might apply across different types of personnel working on a production, it may work differently for different types of people. Certainly from SAG-AFTRA's point of view, for performers, especially performers working in scenes without PPE, in close proximity to other performers, or in intimate scenes, we're going to be looking for there to be very frequent testing as a way of giving them some assurance that they're not exposing themselves to an unnecessary and unacceptable level of risk.
We're talking with Duncan Crabtree Ireland of SAG-AFTRA, who is leading the union Safety and Reopen Initiative. We're talking with participants in this white paper that titled Industry-Wide Labor Management Safety Committee Task Force on Reopening Production, not just here in Southern California, but across the country. Coming up, we'll talk with the chairman and chief executive officer of the Motion Picture Association, Charles Rivkin, as well. You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app. You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle with The Frame's John Horn. We're also talking with UCLA physician Dr. Daniel Yuslan, who was medical consultant for an industry task force white paper that's been produced about reopening production in Hollywood. With us from SAG-AFTRA, Duncan Crabtree, Ireland, and also joining us from the Motion Picture Association, the chairman and chief executive officer, Charles Rivkin. Sir, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it. Were all of the major studios involved in the production of this paper?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess, Larry, let me just say, this is Charlie Rivkin, let me just say how grateful I am to be on the show. I'm a big fan. I used to listen to it always when I lived in Los Angeles, and I still get to listen to it here in Washington, D.C.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
To your question, the Motion Picture Association is made up of Disney and Warner Brothers, NBC, Universal, Sony, Paramount, Netflix, some of the largest producers of content on the planet. And there's no question that they were each involved in this discussion. And we are so appreciative of the work that everyone did on these safety guidelines, from our union and guild partners to the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, the AMPTP, and representatives of those six member studios that I discussed. Because what they've done is they put together a roadmap that's going to make it safe for literally hundreds of thousands of production workers throughout the U.S. to begin returning to work.
The major studios that comprise the MPA have to just be feeling tremendous pain here because just like the people that work at those studios, there's little revenue that's coming in. Production is ground to a halt. And, you know, what sorts of time pressure is your membership working on to get production up and going, particularly knowing the kind of pipeline delay there's going to be to ever get a finished product out?
Getting production up and going is the number one priority for all Motion Picture Association member studios. And you talked about economic pain. It's true. The whole country is feeling economic pain. But this industry is one of the greatest export drivers of the American economy. I mean, we sell to 130 countries around the world in surplus with every relationship and exporting four times what we import. But we also support 2.6 million American jobs. And so getting back to work is, for our industry, is also tremendously helpful for the U.S. economy. Hugely important. And what we're doing at the MPA is we're taking these guidelines, we're sharing them with all 50 states, key officials, and also international markets. And we're also working on a number of federal programs at the same time that will help our industry and help the people in our industry.
We just heard AMC Theaters report that it's challenged to remain a going concern with the heavy losses they've suffered. We know about the challenges that some of the boutique theaters have already been facing with this. But when you hear the largest chain, AMC, has, you know, questions about its ability to function the longer this goes on, what are the implications for the studios?
You know, I spoke today with my friend John Fithian, who runs the National Association of Theater Owners, NATO, and he's quite bullish, not surprisingly, and he says that 36 states are either open or going to be open by mid-July when two big films come out, Warner Brothers' Tenet on July 17th and Mulan from Disney on July 24th. And he says that, 80% of theaters globally are going to open by mid-July, and that the movies that were originally slated for April, May, and June are now going to be released in theaters later in the year or in 2021. So the theater owners are pretty bullish about the future prospects. The question is, can we get there? And how long will the pandemic last? But I tell you, these protocols that we discussed are the first step in getting there. And because we need to get our productions up and running safely This is a great place to start.
And of course, the question is going to be which is going to rule the day. People with all their pent up demand to get outside, wanting to go watch a movie in a communal space, or are fears about the coronavirus going to tamp down the enthusiasm to go? And of course, you're going to have greater distance and masks with people in theaters as well.
That's true. But, you know, a recent poll showed that 75% of filmgoers will return to theaters if the safety protocols are in place. So the key is not only having the protocols in place, but also communicating effectively with the consumers about how it is safe to return. And we're going to work with theater owners on that point. But pent-up demand, I mean, I don't know if you've been following the boom in drive-ins around the country.
I have.
There was even a drive-in, if you will, at Yankee Stadium parking lot this summer. And I mean, it's just indicative. People want to get back to the movies. And this was a massive, it's a $42 billion global industry, the box office was, that went to zero literally overnight. This business is going to regain its footing. It's just a question of when.
I was going to drive out my family to the Mission Tiki in Montclair, which is a great drive-in. I was concerned that I was hearing about the lines to get in, just as you're describing. There's so much demand. We're talking with Charlie Rifkin, Chairman, Chief Executive Officer of the Motion Picture Association, The Frame's John Horn joining us as well, and UCLA physician Dr. Daniel Uslan joining us. Dr. Uslan, do you have any sense of where we're at time-wise on being able to, under these protocols, get production resuming?
You know, that's a real important question, and I think if we've learned anything over the last few months with this pandemic is that we need to expect the unexpected. And I have gotten out of the prediction business. I think at this point we have to be following our public health authorities and being very cautious as we slowly reopen. Certainly, we recognize that there are different parts of the industry that are likely going to be able to reopen sooner than others. Pre-production activities, for example, like writers' rooms and casting, those types of things are likely safer and can happen sooner than full onset production where you've got people working in closer quarters. So there may need to be a phased approach rather than just a single flipping of a switch and everything goes back to the way it was.
All right. Duncan Crabtree, Ireland of SAG-AFTRA, your actors are certainly ready to go back. I think, how hard is it to get all the guilds on the same page, or has that already happened?
Well, I mean, I think it's reflected in the document that most of the major industry unions are signed on to the document. And I think actually there's a really a tremendous degree of solidarity and consistency between us in terms of what we're seeing out there. And I think part of that is the fact that what we're all looking at is making sure that our members are well informed and making sure that their concerns are addressed, because ultimately the industry is not going to be able to resume unless the workers who actually get in there and make these projects happen are comfortable enough to come back to work. And that doesn't mean 100% safety. I think everyone recognizes that absent a vaccine or something like that, we're not existing in a world of 100% safety, but there needs to be enough of a sense of a safer environment that people feel comfortable to return to work. And that's what we're talking about. And we're talking to our members all the time. And there's a great degree of consistency from our members as well in terms of the level of safety they want to see before they feel comfortable returning to work.
Duncan Crabtree, Ireland, SAG-AFTRA, and John Horn of The Frame. Just quick 20-second close here. Are we going to run out of content before production resumes?
We're going to run out of content maybe before the end of the year, but I think the AMC story is the one to watch. A company with $5 billion of debt, only $700 million in cash. Even if 80% of the theaters open with people sitting 6 feet apart, that's not box office. That's going to keep theaters in business.
John Horn of The Frame. John, thank you so much. My thanks to our terrific panel of guests talking about the future of film production, television production, commercial production in Southern California. Have a terrific weekend from all of us, Film Week, here on 89.3 KPCC and the KPCC app.